ahead, turn with me to the book of Romans tonight. We'll talk about the men's meeting after church. How about that? Book of Romans, chapter 12, and if you would, stand to your feet, verse number 1. We see, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day and everything you give us, God. I thank you for this message that you have given to me, God. I pray that you would preach through me, God, that nothing I would say would quench the Spirit. I pray that you would help us as Christians to live for you and walk with you. I pray that if there's anyone lost in here tonight, God, that you'll give them the faith and the courage to take that first step of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm titling this tonight, A Proven Walk. We see here, first of all, that we're given a call. Us as Christians are given this call in Romans here. We see, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourself a body, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Us as Christians, we're supposed to present ourselves as our bodies as a sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind because we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We see, so we are being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we know that fact. God's telling us that us as a body of Christ, Christians, are supposed to work together. And one decision that's made is it doesn't only affect ourselves; it affects everyone. We see when we sin, us as Christians, it doesn't only affect us; it affects everyone around us. Teenager, when you go against your family, you don't only affect yourself, but you affect your family. Christian, when you do that thing then private that you think is private, not only are you hurting yourself, but you're hurting the church. Because you're taking away power from yourself that God can use to set the church on fire. We need to live for Christ because our sin doesn't only affect us, it affects everyone. Just like Jonah on that boat, he was sleeping peacefully, but the storm was blowing outside. And not only was he going to die in that storm, but all those sailors were going to die with him as well, because of one man's sin. We see in John 6:2-7, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. You know what Paul's saying here? Us as Christians, we are so set on material things in our life. Maybe it's money, maybe it's silly things like video games. We spend so much time doing other things when we should be focusing on things or even work. That can be an idol in our life. We spend every day working. Maybe it's taking up our time with God. Maybe it's taking up our prayer time. Maybe it's taking up our Bible reading. Anything can become an idol if it's taken away from what we're doing to live for Jesus. And Paul's saying here, put all that stuff away. Live for God. Take of the meat that is eternal, that is sealed you unto the day of salvation. We say, you don't have to turn there, I'll go ahead and read it. But we see in Revelation 3:15-20, straying from the call. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Here we see that they're talking to the church of Laodicea in Revelation here. Laodicea, they had all these things going for them. They had all these activities they were doing, these projects, but never really focused on what the gospel truly was. What's wrong with some of our churches today? Why our churches are dead and dying? I wouldn't give anything for a church of Glenwood Baptist Church about 80 members who is alive and on fire for God than a church of 15,000 members that's dying spiritually because they're not focused on God and the gospel. Give me a church like Glenwood where we come to Sundays and the preacher can't even preach because people are testifying of how good God has been to them. I wouldn't trade that for anything. I thank God for dealing with a church on this hill. We see here that your love for things, that he's telling Laodicea, that your love for things, when your love for things go up, love for those materialistic things, then your love for God and your love and your search for people will always go down. When you're focused on these other things, materialistic things, money, whatever it may be in your life, your love is always going to go down for Jesus Christ because you're not focusing on him. We see in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with hyssop, that thou mayest see. We see in verse 17, they're talking about how rich they are, how they're increased with goods, all these materialistic things. And God's saying, how about try these things? Maybe a little bit of spiritual discernment. Maybe a little bit of righteousness instead of all those materialistic things that are getting you nowhere. Yeah, they're drawing in members like some churches today. They're drawing in members. You've got the members to show. But where is God in all this? You know, if God is not in the church, then close the doors because you're doing nothing to help the gospel. We see in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. At this point, he's kind of given up on the church because he realizes the church as a whole is not going to be to give their whole. So we see in verse 20 that he's saying, he's knocking on the door of the church and individually asking, who will follow me? Who will worship me and do what I am telling you to do as Christians? We see here that the church as a whole will not take God's word and won't listen. But God hearkens to each individual soul. I'm so glad that, you know, even if someone else is not experience or not living for Jesus, that doesn't affect how I live for Jesus. You know, God's goodness to me does not depend on someone else's way they worship, way they live for Jesus, what they're doing when they're not in church on Sunday or Wednesday. What I do with my life is dependent on Jesus Christ and that alone. And I'm so glad that God's goodness does not depend on my faithfulness to him. Because if it depended on my faithfulness to him, his goodness wouldn't be very strong in my life, I have to say. And if some of us were honest, I believe that would be a lot of our answer. If God's faithfulness depended on how we live for him, how we witness for him, how we worship him when we're not in Sunday church or we're not in Wednesday church, how we live for him when we're around our coworkers, how we live for him when we're around our peers, how we live with him and those other Christians that may not be worshiping him like they're supposed to, living for him like they're supposed to. We should be the light that everyone else learns to live for Jesus through. I'm so grateful. We see here the Christians in Laodicea had forgotten that his love paid the ransom for something that they could never pay. See, these Christians were in Laodicea, but their eyes were on something totally different. They had forgotten that Jesus died to save them for their sins. They had forgotten that the gift of grace, it can't be bought. It's full and free. They've forgotten that every soul that comes to him can accept him with no works, just by faith alone. He saw my life and he died for me. But even though he saw what I was going to be, what I was going to do after salvation, he still died So he went all the way, and that's how much he loves me. That's how much he loves you. I've got this song I've been listening to over and over and over again on repeat. It says, thanks to Calvary, I will never walk alone. Thanks to Calvary, Jesus bought me for his own. Thanks to Calvary, now heaven is my home. The joy that's found in Jesus makes my life complete. Thanks to Calvary. See, your life will never be complete. Lost person, maybe there's a lost person here tonight. You've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're trying to find that missing piece in your life to fill that void, but it can't be filled without Jesus Christ. You try everything in this world to fill it. That thing that you're doing, you have to do more and more and more to try to fill that void, but it never satisfies. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy. We see in John 15, verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye accept, ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We see here it's pretty self-explanatory. God is using this as an example of how we're supposed to depend on Jesus Christ, how we're supposed to live connected to Jesus Christ. He says, abide in me. You as a branch cannot live alone and bear fruit without itself, except you abide in the vine. You know, if that vine is disconnected from that branch, it's not going to grow anymore. Except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So not only does God say you need to abide in me, but if you abide in me, people are going to be able to tell. People are going to be able to tell you the difference because the fruit in your life. You know, sometimes different life shows fruit. If you take a lost man and a Christian, now you should be able to tell the difference in those two lives. And in Laodicea, you couldn't tell the difference in that because they weren't living for him. But if you're fully living for Jesus, your life is going to bear fruit that you have been saved. And you have the hope that one day you're going to be with him in heaven. I jotted this down. I was listening to Brother Kenny Baldwin preach at a camp meeting Monday night. And it says, living for Jesus has never been easy, but it will always be worth it. And that's the truth. Living for Jesus, he never said it's going to be easy and it won't. You know, you may have days when it feels a little bit more easy, but just give it a little while. You'll start getting some backlash from the devil. If you're truly living for Jesus, you're going to be full. But the Bible promises us that the gates of hell won't prevail against it. If we're living for Christ, the gates of hell won't prevail it as we're marching toward to defeat it. Lost person, I mainly talk to the Christians here tonight, but we see we can also intertwine this in. For without me, you can do nothing. For without God, you are nothing. Amen. You have nothing. God gives us a choice. It's a free will. He came to die on the cross some 2,000 years ago. And he did die, and he rose again on the third day, as we worship him on Easter. He did raise, and he gave us the choice for eternal salvation. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to the altar tonight and accept him, and you'll find what that satisfaction that you've been searching for your whole life. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day and everything you give us, God. I pray that you would help the words that preach tonight, God, to be used for your glory and that alone. I pray that you would use the words to spike the hearts of if there's any lost in here tonight, God. I pray that us as Christians, God, would not be like this dead church in Laodicea. I pray that we would be on fire for you, a church that is fighting for you, every one of us, as we saw. We're a body, and each one of us is a member of that. And we're all charging for the same purpose, for the gospel. I pray that you would help us to live for you in our works, in our work, in our schools, no matter what we're doing as Christians, to shine the light no matter what. I pray that you would place roadblocks in our life to help us to fight off the temptation that is thrown our way, because we know that that happens. I pray that you would be with everyone here tonight. I pray that you would work in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.